So as we've been mentioning all morning, the health care reform bill survived a procedural vote in the Senate. Debate begins in the greatest debating society on earth, the U.S. Senate. And among the debates will be questions of abortion and other passionate questions that arouse lots of emotions and may or may not have directly to do with health care reform. Immigration is one of those. And immigration reform and the service for illegal, undocumented immigrants in the United States has certainly been one of the key passionate issues that has dominated health care reform, both in the House and in the Senate. Kevin Sack joins us now, New York Times national correspondent. He covers health care. Kevin, good morning.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
It's certainly not news that nativist kinds of concerns about immigrants, the loose border, the fact that people from over there are coming into the United States is an issue in American politics. That's not new. But how has it affected this particular bill and this particular debate?
Well, I think the Democrats have been determined to try to minimize it as an issue as much as possible. They do not want the health care bill to turn into an immigration bill, and they certainly don't want the health care debate to turn into an immigration debate. It would doom it before it got started. So what they've done is made sure that in both the House and the Senate versions of the bill, there are explicit prohibitions against illegal immigrants receiving any direct benefits. In other words, they would continue to be ineligible for Medicare, the federal insurance program for the elderly and disabled. They would continue to be ineligible for Medicaid, the program for the poor, except in some very narrow circumstances where states make emergency Medicaid available to illegal immigrants. But they have not been able to avoid a lesser controversy over whether or not illegal immigrants would be allowed to buy health insurance on these new exchanges or virtual marketplaces that would be created. And there is a difference in the House legislation and the Senate legislation on that matter. The House would allow them to buy insurance on these exchanges, and the Senate would not. So that's something that's going to have to be hashed out in conference, and I'm sure it's an issue that we'll be hearing a lot about over the next few weeks.
And we're already seeing, and a story that you wrote for the Times that was published over the weekend suggests that medical institutions, hospitals, et cetera, are already taking matters into their own hands to restrict the offering of services to undocumented immigrants. Explain what you discovered in Atlanta.
Well, Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta is the big 117-year-old public hospital here where I'm based. It's supported directly by taxpayer appropriations from two counties. And like all public hospitals, its policy has basically been to accept all comers, regardless of immigration status. We all know that that immigrants have to be treated in emergency rooms of any hospital if they present themselves, regardless of their immigration status, if they arrive with an emergent condition. But what Grady and other public hospitals have been doing over the years is providing ongoing care. And in the case of Grady, they've been providing dialysis to about 90 patients on an ongoing basis. About two-thirds of them, perhaps, are illegal immigrants because they've got nowhere else to go for what's obviously a life-sustaining treatment. And back in July, Grady's board voted to shut this dialysis center down for financial reasons. It's a big money loser because most of the patients are illegal and therefore uninsurable for the most part. At least these patients are uninsurable. They can't afford private coverage anywhere. They can't get public coverage.
Well, one of those patients is 23-year-old dialysis patient Ignacio Lopez, who also joins us from Atlanta. Good morning, Ignacio.
Good morning.
When you were told that Grady Hospital would no longer allow you to seek dialysis treatment, where did you go?
They sent us to a private clinic for 3 months, and starting January, the 3 months are going to finish.
And if you don't receive dialysis in 1 or 2 weeks, what's the consequence for you?
Death.
Death.
Uh-huh.
So, Kevin Sack, Ignacio, who appears in your story, Ignacio Lopez, is one of the sort of ghosts haunting this healthcare debate in that as services are shut down, it's really almost random as to where they end up, right?
Right. Well, what's happened in the case of Grady and Ignacio, as he explained, is at the last minute after shutting down, announcing it was shutting down the clinic, Grady, in response to a lawsuit that's been filed by some of the patients, voluntarily agreed to provide 3 months of private dialysis at a private clinic to these patients while they try to make other arrangements. And Grady has agreed to help them either return to their home countries, they'll pay for airfare and they'll pay for 3 months of dialysis in those home countries, or perhaps go to another state where Medicaid policies might be more generous than they are in Georgia. But for the most part, these folks really don't have other options. Returning to their home countries is not really an option for some of them. They have no support system, no financial support there, no family support there. And so they're left waiting, and many of them really feel that the clock is ticking, as Ignacio said, down towards this January 3rd date when their 3 months runs out.
Well, Ignacio, if you could afford insurance, would you buy it?
Yeah.
What's the chance of that being a possibility for you?
It's not a big chance, but well, we try to do like donations and sell T-shirts for we can buy insurance for everybody. It's one of the options we've been trying.
Well, Ignacio, good luck to you. We want to check in with you before January, if possible. Ignacio, please try to get your dialysis if you can. Kevin Sack, a final word? I mean, this really sort of sets the stark reality of this debate.
It's a real microcosm of what's going on nationally. And again, the big debate in Washington is going to be over these exchanges. The argument against allowing them in is sort of a symbolic one. It's, you know, what type of public resources should be expended.
And looming above the debate is the question. What happens to people like Ignacio? Kevin Sack, New York Times national correspondent. He covers healthcare. Also, Ignacio Lopez, dialysis patient, awaiting a deadline in January.